The financial event of the day, the European Central Bank could trigger a stimulus program, but how and how much? From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. In just over an hour, we should hear from the European Central Bank on what could be a major campaign to buy up government bonds from around Europe to stimulate the collective economies that use the euro. The weakness in Europe has been driving up the dollar, which makes it tougher to sell U.S. goods to Europe, among other things. BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker is standing by watching for news about the scale of the stimulus if it comes.
We would expect it to be pretty much the full range of government bonds from across the eurozone. There have also been a lot of suggestions that the buying will actually be done not by the ECB itself, but by the national central banks of the individual eurozone countries. They would be responsible for taking any risk in the event of one of the countries concerned defaulting or restructuring its debt.
So there have been whispers about the size of this stimulus that will get confirmed or not as the morning wears on here. Andrew, any sense of how much is enough?
Well, the kind of figures that we've been hearing are flying around for what the accumulated amount might end up being, somewhere between half a trillion euro and a trillion euro. I think anything less than that figure would be a huge disappointment to the financial markets. And nobody, I think, genuinely believes that quantitative easing on its own is going to solve the eurozone's wider economic problems. As one of my colleagues has said, this is really a painkiller for an economy that does need much more dramatic treatment.
BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
Let's check the numbers. Ahead of Europe's stimulus decision, the 100-share index in London is up 0.3%, but Germany's DAX is down 0.25%, Paris is down 0.1%, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. After the White House this week circulated some big changes to the tax code the president is now seeking, I talked to an expert on a trust fund part of it. If, say, somebody's Uncle Jack put $1 million into a tax-deferred investment, it rose to $100 million over the years and Uncle Jack died. Under the current system, the heirs pay no capital gains tax on that increase. Uncle Jack gets to pass on his tax protection in his will. The administration would like to change that. A number of listeners wrote us saying words to the effect of, "Hello, what about inheritance tax?" Well, good point. How might controversial inheritance tax play out if the president's trust fund plans were to somehow gather steam? Michael Gratz is a professor of tax law at Columbia University and co-author of Death by a Thousand Cuts, The Fight Over Taxing Inherited Wealth. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
How does this work? Even if the heirs get to step up the basis when they inherit a fund like this, they sell it right away, so it hasn't increased in value under the heirs' watch. There's no capital gains tax these days?
That's correct. There is no capital gains tax. All of the gain and the assets value that occurred during the transferor's lifetime is exempt from income tax.
Aha, but there would be inheritance tax, right?
Well, there would be on a $100 million transfer, but there wouldn't be on a couple that had less than now nearly $11 million of assets to transfer. So the current federal estate tax is limited to couples with, as I say, over $10.5 to $11 million.
Many Americans support an inheritance tax. Many do not. Among those who can't stand the inheritance tax are people who will never pay any of it because they don't make enough. What accounts for this broader antipathy toward that tax?
That's the $64 million question. We've written a book on it. We tried to understand how 65% of the American public hates a tax that less than 1% of the richest will ever pay. There is some sense that it's unfair. The opponents were very effective in portraying the hated IRS standing side by side with the undertaker. But the American public is just remarkably optimistic, and maybe half of the American people believe that they'll be in the top 1% when they die and they'll have to pay this tax. And so it's very mysterious how much opposition this tax on transfers of wealth at death raises. But the opposition is real and it's often quite intense.
Columbia professor Michael Gratz is an expert on tax law and is co-author of Death by a Thousand Cuts, The Fight Over Taxing Inherited Wealth. Professor, thank you for this.
Thank you, David.
land of the dollar store. Today's big day. Family Dollar shareholders are expected to vote on an $8.5 billion merger with Dollar Tree, and they might accept it even though there's a higher offer on the table. Marketplace's Adrienne Hill explains.
All right. You're going to need to pay attention here. There are a whole lot of dollars to keep track of. Dollar Tree is offering $8.5 billion for Family Dollar. Competitor Dollar General says it'll pony up $9.1 billion for Family Dollar. So why would a business built on saving dollars, in this case Family Dollar, take the less dollarful deal? Brian Yarbrough is an analyst at Edward Jones.
You have huge risk on the Dollar General Family Dollar deal.
Specifically, the risk is that the FTC won't like it. Yarbrough thinks the Family Dollar-Dollar Tree merger will be an easier sell to regulators. Ken Perkins is an analyst at Morningstar.
The Family Dollar board essentially feels that there's a lot of uncertainty about the Dollar General deal going through as proposed.
Today, Family Dollar shareholders have to decide whether all that uncertainty is worth the possibility of extra dollars. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.
Another story we're watching today reports that soon you could buy smartphone service from search and advertising giant Google. The online publication called The Information says Google might become a wireless carrier by purchasing service wholesale from Sprint or T-Mobile or both. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.